From adolescence to mature adulthood, biblical sexual education is extremely important. Now, a lot of people would sit back and say, well, you know, why do you say that? Because, folks, I can tell you that when it comes down to being a believer in this world, you certainly do not want the public school education being the one to teach your children sexual education. That was not God's design. God's design has always been for that to be taught, you know, in the home between, you know, a husband and wife and their children. And it's supposed to have been taught from the biblical perspective. You can look around us today and see that there has been a lot of that lost. And we've got this idea that today that for parents, we just ship our kids off to school and they teach them everything, you know, including sex education. Now, I can tell you this much. If you're a parent of some small children today, I want to encourage you to be very involved in the life of your children in school, and particularly when it comes down to sexual education, because I will promise you that this is not being taught from a biblical stance in the Christian or in public schools today. It may be in the Christian schools, but it's not in the public schools. So I've often said this, and I will continue to say this, the Bible is absolutely the very best textbook for sexual education for your children. We're going to get an example of that in just a moment as we look at warnings against adultery out of Proverbs chapter 7, verses 1 through 27. Grab your Bible and come on back. We'll see you in a minute. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're glad that you're joining us this evening. I hope and trust that you grabbed your Bible and you're able to turn to our passage today. Today we're actually going to be looking at the book of Proverbs, which is called the Book of Wisdom, chapter 7, and we're going to be looking at the whole chapter. It's only 27 verses, but as we read this, I want you to pray that the Lord would open your heart, that He would open your mind, and particularly when it comes down to sexual education, you know, particularly if you have children that are approaching that age where you need to have that talk with them. Folks, we just can't skirt over this. I mean, this is something that a lot of times people would look at the title and say, I want to go ahead and turn this broadcast off. Listen, I want to encourage you not to do that, because if it's in the Bible, there's reasons for it. It doesn't have to be a source of tension between you and your children. All you're simply doing is teaching them what God's plan, what God's purpose is, and some things to be careful of. There are so many times in life that we may say, you know, this is the way things should be, but we neglect to mention the things that we need to be careful of, the warning signs along the way. And these are some things that we actually see out of the book of Proverbs. So I want you to pay careful attention to those things as we look at our text today. So join me, if you would, in the book of Proverbs chapter 7, beginning with verse 1. It says, "My son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers and write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call insight your intimate friend. To keep you from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, you know, for the windows of my house I have looked out and through the lattice, and I have seen among the simple, I have perceived among the youths a young man lacking sense, passing along the street near her corner, you know, taking the road to her house in the twilight, in the evening, you know, at the time of night and darkness. And behold, the woman meets him, dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. Verse 11, she is loud and wayward. Her feet do not stay home. Now in the street, now in the market, and at every corner she lies in wait. She seizes him and kisses him, and with a bold face she says to him, I had to offer sacrifices, and today I have paid my vows. So now I have come out to meet you, to seek you eagerly, and I have found you. I have spread my couch with coverings, colored linens from Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took a bag of money with him. At full moon, he will come home. With much seductive speech, she persuades him with her smooth talk. She compels him. Verse 22, all at once he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a stag is caught fast, till an arrow pierces its liver, as a bird rushes into a snare. He does not know that it will cost him his life. And now, O son, listen to me and be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart turn aside to her way. Do not stray into her path, for many a victim has she laid low, and all her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a way to Sheol, going down to the chambers of death. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you right now, I pray that you would truly give us wisdom, and that you would truly give us insight into your word today. Father, this is a critical time in many hearts and lives of people, particularly with young people. Father, it's a critical time in many hearts and lives of those who are under the temptation and seduction from outside of the marriage today. Lord, I pray that you will open our eyes to the scriptures. I pray that you will help us to see your will and your way as we take these opportunities to come together in your word today. And Lord, may we not be among an adulterous generation. Lord, I pray you'll be with me as your speaker for these moments, that we would truly have the opportunity to lift you up. And Lord, may you give the courage to each and every listener to act and to react, and what the Holy Spirit might lead them to do in this manner today. As Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, you know, in our text, what we have is an example of a loving father who is warning his son against the dangers of adultery. Now, a lot of people would sit back and say, well, what is adultery? You know, adultery is essentially when there is a consensual sexual activity between two couples who are married, but that activity is not between the spouse that they are married to, okay? So if we want to put it down into some hardline definitions, that's what it is. Now, along with that, you know, one of the questions that always comes up is, you know, when it comes down to, you know, to adultery, does that include all forms of sexual immorality, both before and after marriage? Well, the answer to that question is yes. If it comes before marriage, then obviously what happens if you have two people who have consensual sexual activity together and they are not married to anyone, that has often been categorized as fornication. But fornication still falls under the general category of adultery. That's not right. That is not what God intended. God intended for sexual relationships to be held within the confines of a marriage. One male to one female, vice versa, one female to one male for a lifetime, a commitment for all of eternity. Not that you go and marry somebody and then when you get bored or tired with them, that you go outside of the marriage bond and seeking, you know, some other sort of sexual gratification. And by the way, it's not just the act of sexual intercourse that qualifies in this. Notice what I said. I said the definition was sexual immorality or sexual acts. It can come, you know, from any source. It's not just narrowed down to the one thing and that makes everything else okay. No, it doesn't work that way. You have adultery as well as fornication, and they both fall under that same particular umbrella. Now, yet here the Bible is warning us against a seductive woman who flatters with smooth words. If you look there in verses 1-5, it talks about her. Let's look at it again. It's chapter 7, verses 1-5. And it says, my son, keep my words. Remember, this was a father to a son. Keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. In other words, he's saying, this is important. Listen to me when I'm telling you. Be sure that this is something that's etched in every ounce of who you are, because it is important. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Verse 3, say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin, that they may keep you from the immoral woman, you know, from seducers who flatters her with words. So he's saying, and remember, he's talking to his son. So obviously he's going to tell his son, you need to watch out for the seductive woman. But here's something that I want us to understand. The same warning is equally true if you are telling this to your daughter. You know, that doesn't mean that men are not as equally seductive. That does not mean that men do not go about, as the harlot that we read about here. Men are the same way. You know, so this is not just a one-sided thing. You know, I've always said that there's this one passage that over in the book, I believe it's John chapter 8, where it talks about the woman who was caught in adultery, and she was brought before Jesus. And of course, the Pharisees did this that they might tempt and test Jesus to see what he would say. So they brought this woman that they had caught or taken in the very act of adultery, put her in the midst of Jesus, and said, the law says that we are to stone her, but what do you say? So in other words, it was going to be tough to have some sort of an answer, because if Jesus said, well, yeah, don't stone her, then it was going to be going against the law. But if he did say stone her, then essentially that was going to be going against the compassion of the Lord and forgiveness and a second chance. But if you remember, what Jesus did was he stooped down and he began to write in the sand with his finger. And it says that the crowd began to disperse one by one, from the eldest down to the least. Now, the scripture doesn't tell us what exactly Jesus wrote in the sand. Many biblical scholars believe that what Jesus was doing was that he was writing the sins of all those that were standing around accusing this woman. He was writing those in the sand and showing them that they were just as equally sinful. Now, I said all that to say this. The thing about it was, they presented to Jesus a woman who was taken, it says, in the very act of adultery. Where was the man? You see, the law was equally written that the same should happen to the man. He should have been stoned to death as well. In other words, if they were going to drag this woman before Jesus, then they should have dragged this man before him as well. A lot of people would believe, again, we don't have any scriptural proof of this, that this was just a setup so that they could take this woman before Jesus, and that the man that they used to do this was essentially let go and let free. But folks, let me tell you, seduction is equally on the side of the female as well as it is the male. Now, the reason that we're getting this information in the terms that we are, the writer has a son, so he is presenting this to his son, and he's saying, you need to watch out for this seductive woman. Now, I believe that if he was saying this to his daughter and had a daughter, he would be saying, you need to watch out for the seductive man. Because what happens is what follows here in just a few minutes, or just a few passages later, he begins to identify the seduction or the flattery that is presented in these cases. Look with me, if you would. Let me just get to the point where, you know, what he's doing is he is beginning to say what he sees. He's saying, I'm standing here and I'm looking out my window, you know, and I'm looking out the lattice work, and I am watching something unfold that I know what's going on. I can see that this woman is trying to seduce this man. Now, obviously, the writer is writing from the position of being older and wiser and being able to see what is taking place and what this woman is trying to do. This is a young man who doesn't have very much experience. Look with me, if you would, at the passages. It says, down in verse 6, it says, for at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice, and I saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths a young man devoid of understanding. In other words, here is a guy, who is young and innocent. He is probably naive. And this man is sitting back and he's watching this interaction take place. In verse, the latter part of verse 7 says, a young man devoid of understanding, verse 8, passing along the street near her corner, her being the one he's warning his son about, the seductive woman, going near her corner. And he took the path to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black of night. You notice this is not something that's being done forthright, out front. This is not something that he's doing so everybody can see it. So, you know, this gives you a little bit of an idea that he kind of knows what's going on, that he shouldn't be doing what he's doing. He shouldn't be going where he's going. He has some indication of what type of a woman this is. Verse 10 says, and there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. Now, you're sitting there looking. Obviously, she has dressed the part. You understand what I'm saying. You know, if you've ever been in some of the larger cities before, you've been around some places where ladies of the evening populate certain areas. You do not have to be Jim Dobson with Focus on the Family to figure out what these ladies are attempting. You know, the way they dress, the things that they're doing, the things that they're saying, the people that they are approaching. Here is a clear-cut indication right off of the bat that this lady's intentions are less than admirable. Let's just put it that way. Then it goes on. It also said in verse 10, she has a crafty heart. Verse 11 said, she was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay home. At times, she was outside. At times, in the open square, lurking on every corner. Verse 13 says, so she caught him and kissed him. She made a very aggressive, bold first move. You know, now you have to understand that if this man, young man, was a naive young man, you know, he might have even, you know, felt like that was something. Here was a lady who had paid him some attention, who desired him. Okay, so she gets him in verse 13. She caught him and she kissed him, with an impudent face, she says to him. Now, be careful. I want you to listen to this. What is it that she actually said to him? Here's what she said, verse 14. I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows, so I came out to meet you diligently to seek your face, and I have found you. Once again, words of flattery. You know, I have desired you. I have come out to see you. Verse 16 says, I have spread my bed with tapestry, colored coverings of Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. In other words, it almost sounds like something that you would see on a Hallmark movie for Valentine's Day. You know, she is telling this young man all that she has done. Well, you know what? That only leads to one place. That only leads to one thing happening and taking place. So she is not, you know, trying to color outside the lines and leave it up to, you know, whatever he may think. She is pretty much telling him what her desire is. Now, she goes on and says in verse 18, she finally states it. She says, come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Okay, that is right out front. She says, you know, I want us to go to my house. I've made all this preparation, and I want us to just make love until morning. Now, again, where do you see problems along the way with this? Well, you're getting ready to see another major problem here in just a second. She says at the end of verse 18, let us delight ourselves with love. And then verse 19 really drives it home. Verse 19 says this, for my husband is not at home. This tells this young man that this woman is married, yet she already has a husband. This is not what you are supposed to do in the biblical confines of how we are supposed to act as born-again believers. And she even tells this man that she is married. And she says, verse 19, for my husband is not at home, for he has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home on the appointed day. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. So he gave in, even though he knows there is nothing right about this. This is a married woman. He should not be doing this. He gives in. Why? Because of selfishness. because of what he wanted, because of his desire, because of what she did to him, the way she charmed him, the way she maneuvered in his life to get not only what she wanted, but what she felt like he wanted as well. With her flattering lips, verse 21 says, she seduced him. You know, verse 22 says, immediately he went after her like an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Man, all of a sudden, he's being taken in. All of a sudden, things are getting bad. You know, when we think about it, you know, the writer describes this young person that he's seeing outside the window. And he is even seeing the trouble take place before the young man sees it. And he's saying, that is my wisdom. That is my experience. That is my age. And I'm trying to pass that on to you so you don't find yourself in that naive, you know, position as this young man that I am watching out the window. You know, this was a person that was vulnerable to seduction and vulnerable to sexual temptation. Okay, so yeah, this is something else that just underscores the importance of biblical sexual education. What does the Bible tell us? That when we see that we're coming into a situation like that, it tells us that we are to flee the temptation. There were some things right there that the young man described in this particular passage should have seen. I mean, particularly to the point when she is inviting him to her house, she is inviting him to a night of sexual pleasure. She even tells him that she has a husband. Listen, you don't have to be a genius to figure that out. He should not be there. He should not be in the midst of that situation. He should have turned. He should have retreated. Okay? Now, there's a lot of people who are not strong enough to do that. Some watching this broadcast have yielded to sexual temptation before, and you know the powerful grip that it has. You could set back, you know, once you have been delivered, once that you have repented, once you have gone to the Lord, you can see how easy it is to fall into this snare. And those that you know and love, you know, your children, your grandchildren, you don't want them to walk in the shoes of this young man. Okay, so you can see that. Some of you know exactly what this passage is talking about, and it underscores the fact that we need to make sure that we are imparting the wisdom, the biblical wisdom that we have to our children so that they will know. I mean, warning signs were all over this situation, but I still believe, too, that selfishness took over as well. Now, what are some other signs? A lot of people would sit back and say, well, yeah, okay, I am naive. I don't understand it. Well, if that's you, then I want you to just make sure that you take a pen or highlighter and that you will underline or highlight particularly verses 10 down through verses 19 and 20. And I'll tell you why. Because the writer mentions several warning signs of sexual seduction in those particular passages. Now, I'll give them to you right now. Okay, how about this one? Immodest dress. That's verse 10. This lady was advertising. Folks, listen, Christian women do not need to be advertising, and Christian young men do not need to be either, okay? You know, if you're out there putting yourself out on display, you are going to draw attention, and I will make a promise. It's going to be from some unwanted characters in your life. Listen, be careful about how you dress. Oh, okay, there goes Preacher Roy. He's getting old-fashioned on us again. No, I didn't say, you know, what you had to wear. I just said make sure that it's modest. Make sure that you are covered up in areas that you should be covered up in, okay? So, you know, again, warning signs. Immodest dress is mentioned in verse 10. How about attention seeking in verse 11? You know, looking to gander attention, all right? Verse 11. Lurking around in verse 12, being in those places where you probably shouldn't be, looking for things that you shouldn't be looking for. The verse 12 talks about lurking around. How about inappropriate touching that's mentioned in verse 13? Because remember what happened? It says she went up and she gave him a kiss. He wasn't looking for that, but she went out in a forward manner by which to do that. So there was inappropriate touching that's mentioned in verse 13. How about the justification of sin that's mentioned in verse 14. Oh, let's just justify it. You know, here are the reasons why it's okay. Folks, let me tell you something. If the word tells us that it's not okay, it is not okay, plain and simple. Yet today's society wants to give sin some other kind of name to make it a little bit more palatable. We've changed the names of everything, but the bottom line is sin has always been sin, and sin will always be sin, no matter how much you decorate it. You know, it's like that old expression that I heard growing up, and you know, you can put lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig. Okay. What about enticing speech? You know, words carry a lot of power. You know, that's another warning sign that's mentioned in verses 15 through 18. The enticing speech that she was giving him, the desire that she had, you know, in her soul and in her heart to capture him, even though she was even telling him that these are things that that neither one of us should be doing. And then those reassuring words that, oh, it's okay, verses 19 and 20. Yeah, those are warning signs. Those are things that you need to see. Now, folks, let me make you a promise. The Holy Spirit will put you on to those things very quickly. Remember what I said about this man who was watching out the window? He was watching it take place, and he was seeing the warning signs even from where he was. He didn't have to be up there to be able to hear everything. He was seeing what was going on. He knew what she was up to. Now, often, if you find yourself in that situation, there are times when you know that as well. You know it, but what happens is what we like to do is we like to entertain it. We like to get so close to the edge of sin. We're like, well, as long as I don't go over the line, I'm okay. I can play around on the fringes of sin because I like the attention I'm getting. I like what's taking place. Now, I won't cross that line. Listen, if that's you, you better be careful because you are only a millisecond away from crossing that line. Yeah, I've talked to many people over my career of pastoral counseling. And there's never a one of them who said, I knew that I was going to get close to the line, and I knew that I was going to drop over, and I just plunged in head first. No, everybody said, I never thought I would be one of them. Let me tell you something, folks. Satan is very powerful. I'm not giving him deity, but let me tell you, he is very powerful, and particularly when it comes down to sexual sin. Okay? You know, how does this describe, you know, what was taking place there? When you look at it, it is plain and simple. It is as black and white in the scriptures. Now, most of us, I hope and pray that as we were reading through those things that she was saying to him, you know, that you understood the warning signs. You know, you thought, he shouldn't have been here. He shouldn't have been in the midst of what was taking place. And then particularly, listen, it doesn't matter whether you missed all the other signs. Even before the sin took place, there was something she said to him. She said, my husband is gone. Okay, that is a no-no. You stay away from somebody else's wife, guys. You are not supposed to be doing that. And women, you should not be stepping out on your husband. It's plain and simple. If you missed every other sign that's out there, and if you missed every other sign in Scripture, you should not have missed that one. Now, I know society wants to make light of biblical marriage today. You know, one man to one woman, a husband and wife, and they've got this idea that if it feels good, do it. You can go out and do whatever you want to do. Folks, that is not a biblical marriage. That is not a biblical relationship. So if you're wanting to walk in step with the Lord, that right there, if you missed everything else, you should not have missed that one because she told him straight up front, my husband is gone and he's not coming back till a little bit later. I know what time it's going to be and we can go just make love all night. That's a no-no. That should never have happened. And you know what? I will promise you this. Those warning signs, or at least one of them, will be in each and every situation that you find yourself in where you need to flee from what's taking place and from what's going on. The Lord tells us, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. Okay? So when you encounter these warning signs, how should you respond? You should get out of there. Listen, I don't care what anyone says. Don't try to puff your chest out. Don't try to be some super spiritual person. Get out. That is the best thing that you can do. Get away from it. The Lord tells us we are supposed to flee from sin. You know, at the moment that you recognize one of these warning signs, that you should be getting away from that temptation. But too many times we sit back because we enjoy the words of affirmation that somebody's given us. We get taken in by the seductive speech. Folks, you better run. Turn and run. Whether you're the male or female in this story, get out. Get out. Do not stay around there, because once you leave the temptation, that's when it's going to go away. It's not going to leave as long as you're standing in the presence. You know. So how did the young man in our story respond? You know, when all those things took place, look down verse 21. It says, with her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. It was over. All of a sudden, she had him. Yep, here we go. Hey, yeah, look, that sounds good to me. I'm going to go to your house, even though I know you're married. You know, I'm going to enjoy the spoils that I'm not supposed to be enjoying. I'm going to go against what everything that's biblical, and I'm going to go against what the Lord would have, all for a few moments of pleasure. Sin for a season. What does the word say? There's pleasure in sin for a season. But you know what? There's awful consequences that will follow that, okay? See, the writer also told us about what the cost would be. Look with me at verse 23. Verse 23 tells us the cost. It says, till the arrow struck his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would cost him his life. Didn't know that. Yeah, you know, all of a sudden he says, oh, I'm just going to go for it, okay? Now, there's a couple other things that are implied by these warnings. I'm going to carry you a few other places in the Scriptures, and one of those is actually Proverbs 6:32. And it says this, is Proverbs 6:32, it's actually 32 and 33. It says this, it says, he who commits adultery lacks sense. He who does it destroys himself. He will get wounds and dishonor, and his disgrace will not be wiped away. Did you get that? This is telling you what the consequence will be. He who commits adultery lacks sense. I mean, has anybody ever told you ain't got no sense? Well, it's the good Lord telling you that if you're going to yield to that, you ain't got no sense. You know, and it says, he who does it destroys himself. He'll get wounded, there'll be dishonor, and his disgrace will not get wiped away. Man, I tell you, I don't know about you, but that's something that I would pay very careful attention to, okay? You know, this is implied in these particular verses, but those are not the only one. Let me tell you what the final instructions that the writer gives were. And these are found in our text today in verses 24 through 27. So he gives some final instructions, and he says, now, therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her way. Do not stray into her paths, for she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Did you get that? See, how many times people say, well, I'm strong enough, I can deal with this. This writer says, even the strong fall in situations like this. It says, her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. Man, I'll tell you one thing. I don't know about you, but when you read something like that and it says, if this is the highway to hell, I certainly want to stay away from it. You know, there's a lot of things that when we look at this passage that this young man could have done different. He didn't have to stray down her way. You know, he had indications from the very beginning how she was dressed. I mean, you know, I've been through in some large cities. Just recently, I was in Atlanta, and I saw some people out on the street, and I didn't have to ask what their occupation was. You could see it, and I'm like, no, I ain't going that way. I'm going to go this way. I'm staying off of that corner. I'm not even going to walk in that direction. Yeah, but what do we do? Too many times we just walk right down there among it, and we act like we're oblivious. Folks, listen, the Holy Spirit is going to lead you and guide you. You just got to pay attention. You got to pay attention, okay? Yeah. In Proverbs 6:27, it presents us with one of the things that we should look at, which is an attitude to change. You know, that's one of the things that we've said as we look through the Word. What are some things that we need to do? We need to look for some attitudes to change. Proverbs 6:27 tells us this. It says, "Can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not be burned?" Can you do that? Can you carry a fire close to your chest and not get burned up? Well, you know, a lot of people would say, "Well, I just don't look at it that way because I don't feel like that's carrying fire next to my chest." Oh yeah, yes, that's exactly what it is. You're carrying fire to your chest. Well, yeah, when we talk about these things, you know, you often hear it in spiritual terms when we talk about sexual purity. So, yeah, how would you define that? You know, how do you define sexual purity? The nice part about that is we don't have to define it because the Word of God defines it for us. Isn't that great? You know, in Proverbs chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, we find out what sexual purity is. It says this in Proverbs chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. It says, "Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breast fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love." You know what that's saying right there? The one that God has chosen and put you together with, be so intoxicated with her love that you never look outside of those bonds. Now, I know what's going to happen. Some of you that are listening to this are sitting there going, "Well, yeah, but you just don't understand how my husband or my wife treats me these days." Well, folks, it's like that old situation says. People sit back and say, "Well, the grass is greener on the other side." Let me make you a promise. The grass is not greener on the other side. But if you feel like it is, then why don't you take the time to fertilize your own grass and it will become greener than what the other side is. That is sexual purity in the confines of a Christian marriage and a Christian relationship. Is that what you're seeking? Is that what you're after? Because see, that says a whole lot of things. See, sexual purity is a far better choice than sexual sin. Did you get that? Let me go back and say that again. Sexual purity is a far better choice than sexual sin. Okay, so now maybe some of you are here and you're listening to this today and you sit back and say, "Well, you know what? I understand what you're saying. I understand what the Word's saying, but I messed up. I've messed up. I am in the midst of this gigantic mess up. I have yielded. I have been the young man in this story. In fact, I'm still the young man in this story. What does God have in store for me?" You know, if somebody falls into sexual sin, the Bible tells us how he or she can be made clean again. Did you get that? You can be made clean again. Hear me. Don't let Satan push that out of your thought and out of your heart today. You can be. And I'm going to give you, just like I've always said, I am going to give you the biblical remedy for your way back into favor with the Father. Okay? Are you ready? And I know maybe there's somebody that's listening to this. I've been looking for this for years. What is it? Please, Preacher Roy, tell me, what is the way back into the good graces of the Father? Well, here it is. Jot it down. Don't ever forget it. Underline it. Refer to it often, because Satan's going to try to tell you this is untrue. But I'm going to make you a promise. The Word of God is always true. And it comes out of the book of 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And this was what it tells us. This is what it tells you if you're in that situation. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Did you get that? If we confess to Him, if we go to Him and say, "Lord, I've messed up. I've been this young man." It tells us that if we're His children and we know Him, then He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And not only does He say forgive us of our sins, but it also says cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not just some of it, not just the other things you've done, not just that thing that you've done, all unrighteousness. You get a whole new clean slate and you get to start over through the compassion, the mercy, the grace, and the forgiveness of God Almighty. So folks, listen, don't let Satan hold you down. Don't let him tell you that you messed up and that you were tainted for the rest of your life. That is a lie straight from the pits of hell. Satan is going to want to try to use everything against you to make you feel like you are that you don't deserve to be in the presence of God. Well, none of us deserve to be in the presence of God, but it's by His grace. He chose us. He loved us. He loves you, and He wants you to come back to Him, and He wants to forgive you. I love the passages that tell us that when He forgives, He throws it as far as the east is from the west into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. So listen, if God's not remembering it, you better not be remembering it either. I've often said that somebody who does that is arrogant. And people would get upset with me and say, "Well, you calling me arrogant?" And I said, "Well, yeah, if you're, yeah, because I said, I asked you if you felt like God could forgive you. And you told me yes, but yet you're saying you can't. Well, then you're saying you have a higher standard than God. And that is the height of arrogance. Listen, if God's forgiven you, then you need to cut it loose. Don't let Satan keep bringing it up. And then you need to go forward in life in a way that's going to be pleasing to Him. So let me ask you this question. How is God speaking to you about the lesson that we have learned from His Word today, the wisdom of the book of Proverbs? Well, listen, you know, today, as always, we need to pray that we will be wise to sexual temptations and that we will flee from them. You know, there's tons of indicators. You know, I've talked to folks who've been caught in it before, and they knew that. I mean, and when they're honest with me, they saw the warning signs. They were on a business trip, you know, away from their spouse, and there was, you know, another coworker that was there, you know, also married. And then, you know, they start meeting up and having dinner, and then, you know, they start to listen to things that aren't going so good in the other one's home, and then all of a sudden these conversations become seductive, and then the next thing they know, they have gone right off the edge. Folks, you see the warning signs. You have to heed the warning signs, and you have to flee from temptation. May we pray that God would help us to be wise to the sexual temptation, and that He would give us the grace and the strength to flee from it. Before we have our prayer, I want to go ahead and give you what our Bible readings for next week, or actually this week will be. This week's Bible readings will be Proverbs chapter 10 through Proverbs chapter 12. Once again, Proverbs is the book of wisdom. So Proverbs chapter 10 through Proverbs chapter 12. And next week we will discuss the mouth of the righteous from the book of Proverbs chapter 10. Verses 11 through 32. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to You, we thank You so much for the fact that You never leave us nor forsake us, and that, Lord, even when we mess up, You still love us. Father, I know that there are probably those today who are thinking that they are so far out of Your reach because of the sins of the past. I pray, God, that You would deliver them from the sins of the past and even from the sins of the present that they're going through right now. Lord, I know it's not just enough for me to ask. Lord, I pray that they would repent, that they would cry out to You, and that, Lord, they would understand these passages that where Your Word tells us that You truly forgive us. If we confess before You, that You will throw that sin as far as the east is from the west. Lord, You will restore us to a walk in a right relationship with You. And I pray that for each and every person who is going through this tough time right now. Lord, I pray that You will give us wisdom to see when sexual temptations come our way. And then, Lord, the courage to help us to run from them. Lord, not to try to be courageous in battle, but to run. Your Word tells us to flee temptation. God, give us the grace and the strength by which to be able to do that. Lord, help us to have a great week. Give us a renewed sense and a fresh walk with You as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Folks, listen, thank you for joining us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. If you happen to be in the Oak Ridge or Greensboro area, we would love to have you come worship with us on a Sunday morning at 10:45. That's when our services start. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. If you're familiar with that area, we're right across the street from the Oak Ridge Military Academy. We would love to have you come worship with us in spirit and in truth. God bless you. Have a great week.